I want to welcome you to another episode of the Lloyd and Leroy Show. This is the podcast about nothing that possibly could lead to something. I'm glad you joined us.
I'm glad you joined us too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Happy to have all of our listeners here with us.
Yeah. What was that? You swallowed really hard.
I did indeed.
I thought you were launching into something powerful.
I thought I was going to, but then the power just left.
Well, go ahead and let the power hit you.
All right. Well, frankly, we're reporting live right here where Darren and LJ are recording the Lloyd and Leroy Show. You'll notice that many of the episodes have been recorded already and have aired. Some of the episodes are yet to be recorded and will air at a future time. Let's go now to Darren in the studio as he records the show. Why do reporters talk like that?
I don't know, but I really wanted you to throw it to me so I could do something, because I was going to say, hey, Bob, I'm down here.
Let's do that. Let's go back. On the Lloyd and Leroy Show, let's go now to Darren in the studio. Darren, tell us a little bit more about why reporters talk like this.
I don't know, but it's hilarious, but you've got an explanation. So I'm flipping it back to you. Go ahead. Why do they talk like that? Have you ever noticed that? Well, Bob.
Every reporter talks like that. Every anchor talks like that. Good evening, everybody. You're watching the evening news. There was another assault at a Popeyes location in St. Charles, Missouri.
People want their chicken.
But why do the reporters, like, nobody else talks like that?
I like the cadence or whatever. I like the weather people.
The weather people are great.
Because they can be wrong all the time and keep their job.
And still be gainfully employed.
They're gainfully
There's that English language.
It strikes again.
I don't understand it, though. But yeah, you're right. Weather people. Now, there is one particular weather meteorologist who is amusing because he will allow listeners or viewers to send in a lyric or a song, and he will work it in organically into his forecast. That's cool. I think he's in Texas.
I'm not sure. We're going to have to drop the link for that. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it.
Find it on your handy mobile device with Google.
He drops these, and it's very subtle. Like, he doesn't come out and say that I'm going to drop this line. He just drops them, and it's pretty amazing the way he does it. His name, here it is. His name is, I think it might be TikTok. His
name is TikTok?
His name is TikTok, and he's a very popular app right now. Weather Adam.
Weather
is
Adam.
His handle, Weather Adam. And he just sneaks words on the weather. So somebody will send a message on social and say, Eminem lyrics, do it. And he will choose a song and he'll just throw lyrics
in. That is awesome.
That's pretty cool. We've done that with words before, though. Have we talked about that?
We did talk about that.
Oh, never mind.
Like in the middle of announcement, you're given a word from a friend, you got to throw it in. And
yes.
Yeah, probably shouldn't let people know that that happens, but it has.
That's one of those kind of tricks of the trade, behind the scenes type things.
Yes, but it's funny.
But there again, the whole reporter, why they, I mean.
I don't know.
LJ. Does a reporter pull up to the Starbucks thing and go,
Welcome to Starbucks. Can I take your order?
Yes. I will have a Trenti caramel macchiato, and if you will add a little bit more caramel, that would be great. I'd like to go now to my children in the back seat to find out what they would like to order.
Children?
At this time. Children?
I'll have a door holder number 3 macchiato.
I like a door holder number 3 macchiato with extra cream.
I just don't get it. It's interesting.
That is.
Are there any other professions that have something like that?
Radio DJs.
Okay.
Radio DJs. Now this is a fun fact. You want a fun fact? This is a fun fact segment.
Fun fact.
I was a Southern Gospel radio DJ.
You have to be joking. Is this an April Fool's
prank? Nope.
Seriously?
This is an actual thing that I did. When I was freshly out of Bible college, I was youth pastor at a church, and they had a radio network that was way, way, way ahead of its time. It was a satellite radio network already. Right. And this was for XM, this was for Sirius, this was for all those that came around, you know, any of that. The internet probably wasn't even around. Well, it was. Al Gore was working on it.
Al Gore was working on it. That was an inconvenient truth.
See what you did there.
I did, yes.
And So here, in all the stations that played this music was in the South, and I'm on the West Coast with a West Coast voice.
Right.
And here's this DJ. Hey, it's Darren Sargent, the captain of Southern Gospel Music. That was my dad.
Word.
Here comes the McCameys right now with Revivals rolling in. Yeah. I don't
Southern. I could see you more as a hip hop guy.
Yeah. For Southern all the gospel. People out there that love their Southern gospel, God bless you.
Indeed.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
You know, give me some gospel music. Give me some good jamming music.
Like Mormon Tabernacle Choir kind of stuff.
I'm all in.
All in.
That reminds me of a story where we lived in Twin Falls, Idaho area. As you know, the Twin Falls Falls.
The Twin Falls Falls.
You have to listen to past episodes.
Shoshone Falls and Twin Falls Falls.
We would have to go over to Salt Lake City, which is about 4 or 5 hours away.
Which is gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, beautiful city. But I would pick up my prosthetic there. Because till I was 12 years old, I had a prosthetic that they would fit me with. The Shriners did.
Oh, that's nice.
And they were in Salt Lake. But I never wore it. But they fitted me till I was about 12. And then finally they recognized, you're not wearing this, are you? I said, no, I'm not. Said, okay, we're going to, if you want it, we'll put you back in the program. But right now, adios. There's somebody else that needs this.
Thanks, Shriner guy.
Thanks, Shriner guy. Can I have your hat?
Those are the coolest hats.
And the go-karts.
Those little tassels and the little. Yeah, oh, yeah, those are cool.
So we went over to the watch the I'm just really struggling for words right here, brother.
You got this. I'll feed
thank
you.
You.
I'll feed you the words.
Thank you.
Sounds like.
Thank
you. Looks like. So spelled like.
Went over and listened to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes.
And so I'm just sitting there. My whole, you know, me and my dad, my brothers, my mom, we're just listening to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir there at the Salt Lake City, and I hear this. I'm like looking around. I look down the row, and my dad has got his head against one of the pillars. And he's just
solid gone.
They were probably singing, "How Great Thou Art." Right. It was awesome.
See, what is it about, whether it's music or let's say you're watching something that's, of course, wholesome and good for the whole family? Yeah, but it causes you to fall asleep. What is it about reading that causes? I mean, my first year, freshman year of Bible college, I'm in the dorm room and I'm reading Old Testament Survey by Jensen, trying to get ready for the exam.
I'm asleep.
I couldn't make it past a couple of sentences before falling. I would look at it.
You're exhausted in Bible college.
I just have two more sentences and I can turn this page. I couldn't make it.
Two sentences. You're exhausted in Bible college. Yeah. See, now, I had to work my way through college, mm-hmm. so I had a job. When I get done with school, went straight to, this is awesome.
All right.
I worked at Sears.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't sell anything.
And Roebuck?
Back then.
Yeah.
No, it was just Sears.
Good partnership.
Yeah. But I worked in the merchandise pickup.
All right.
Which was hilarious, because people would see me with one arm.
Oh.
When I'm bringing out a refrigerator or a dryer or a washer or a couch with one arm.
Oh, my word.
People would just, they were just like, this is unbelievable. How's this guy going to do it? Hey, people get mad at me. But I was saying that.
How do you do with one arm what I can't do with two?
I can do it.
You are amazing.
Well, I try. You know, we just try.
Here's another voice. You are amazing. Go out and win the world. You have what it takes.
I don't know who that is.
You're listening to motivational speech. Turn the tape to the other side. For all of you who were born before tapes, there used to be a day you had to turn
the
tape.
So let's go back to Bible college. And so I'm working. I get off of school, get out of school, go straight to work.
Right.
First 2 years Bible college, that was the way it was. Well, there was this guy, I won't say who it was.
That's more fun when you do.
Yeah, I know. No. But I want to say it, but I can't.
Oh, come on, preacher.
Anyways, a prominent individual in the Bible school area where I was calls at 4 o'clock in the morning after I'd been studying all night for a final, having to work the next day. 4 o'clock. Get up. It's time for prayer. You're going to go to hell if you don't get up and pray.
Oh, my.
Called my phone in my dorm. We had phones in our dorm, not cell phones. That wasn't even a thought then.
No.
And I'd be honest with you, I chewed him out. I said, you know what, you lazy person.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Called his name. You're just lazy. I said, when I'm at work after I've studied all night and gone to school all day, you're going to be in bed at noon, sleeping all afternoon while I'm working. Shut up. And I hung up the phone.
Oh.
I then had to go to prayer.
Sure, that's right.
I had to go to prayer. But Bible college, you're wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
Any college, you're wiped out.
Well, yeah, it's true. There's a radical schedule change. When I first got here, I fell asleep everywhere. I fell asleep in class. I fell asleep in chapel. I fell asleep in church. Fall asleep in a Pentecostal church is not easy to do, but I was able to do it.
You know what? I took some of my best naps under Pentecostal pews.
Yeah.
Growing up. I felt, my, go ahead, please. Yours is more important than mine.
I fell asleep one time on the way to work. I worked at Budget Rent-A-Car as a customer service rep. I'm in traffic in a neon, and I'm pulling up behind a Lexus. Now, I can see there's a McDonald's past the light. My plan was get through the light, turn into McDonald's, take a nap, and then head to work, try to get a little bit of power of a nap. I woke up when my neon bumped the nicer, newer Lexus in front of me at the light. I couldn't even stay awake that long.
That's bad.
So we got out, exchanged information, did the whole thing. One night, there was a Wendy's across the street from Budget. I got into the car, went around, got my lunch from Wendy's, which lunch at 7 o'clock at night sounds weird, but that's what it's called. And I'm in the drive-thru, and I woke up to somebody tapping on the glass. Oh, you got to go. Come on, man, move. Get out of here.
You fell asleep in the drive-thru.
After I placed my order. It's unbelievable. I just could not stay awake.
My dad, when he was in college, they were in chapel service, and his friend was sitting next to him. His friend fell asleep. The preacher was preaching. They had a guest preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And right in the middle of his message, my dad poked his friend Vern and said, Vern, they're wanting you to pray. He stood up. Blessed Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapel service, these amazing words. The preacher just kind of looked at him, let him finish. And Vern noticed that not many people were saying anything. So he kind of opened his eye and everybody was staring at him. And the preacher said, well, thank you for that. If you're done, we'll continue.
That is not your dad, is it right for that? But it's hilarious.
And he looked at my dad and said, Sarge, I'm going to kill you. That's a funny story.
That's a hilarious story.
I need to get my dad on here to tell some stories.
That would be
awesome.
My
dad's got some great stories.
Does he have stories about you?
We're not going to go there. He's not coming on the show ever.
He's going to be screened.
He's going to be screened.
We're going to have him on sometime from, well, we won't say who it is. We'll just say it's something from someone from somewhere. And that's
something
where we'll leave it.
From somewhere. This is a new thing. We talk about it in one of our episodes. I don't know if it's an upcoming one, this one. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But we talk about it. What is this segment called where people call in? What do we call it?
It's called something from someone from somewhere.
That's a powerful
line. We won't tell you what it, well,
who it is.
We don't know what it's going to be about, and we don't know, well, we know who, but you don't know.
Because we're giving them special pseudonyms.
But we could play the game, guess who?
We could.
Where people try to figure out who they are, and then they say, are they wearing glasses? And then you turn down all the people that are not wearing glasses.
Now.
That's a fun game.
This episode is dropping on April Fool's Day. Do you know that my due date for my birth was April Fool's? I'm so glad I wasn't born on April Fool's Day.
I'm glad you
Although some people probably think I was.
When our girls were really little, right after Frozen came out, we had watched the movie, the documentary, and after that, it was April Fool's Day. So whatever year that was, we wake up, we made the girls breakfast, just bowls of cereal. But we put blue food coloring underneath the cereal for, I think, McKenna, and pink underneath the cereal for Rayleigh.
Yeah.
So they get there, they're seated at the island, and they pour their milk, and you should see the look on their face. It's like their soul leaves their body. They just go, and one of the girls, we have the video, she goes, what in the world? Like her whole world came crashing down because the cereal turned blue and pink. And Andrea looked at him, what is going on? And they got all nervous, and McKenna's got her, she's just got her hands, like wringing her hands. And
that's
and we looked at him, we looked at each other, and we went, April Fools!
I've pulled some good ones in my time.
And they just looked at us like,
have you ever pulled anything on any of your friends?
I don't think so.
I called a buddy of mine one time on April Fools. Mm-hmm. He wasn't home. And back then you had the voicemail boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Answering machines.
Yes.
And which I never finished my story about my answering machine because someone reached out and said, you never finished your story.
Oh, finish your story
on the
then.
On the kleptomaniac. I'll have to finish
that. Yeah, finish your story.
But so I called my buddy and I'm just sobbing on the phone. I called his name and said, I'm so sorry. I'm leaving everything. I'm running away. I just done with life. And I just went into this big deal.
Man.
He literally fell to the floor. Because he thought it was true.
No.
And at the end, I said, by the way, April Fool's Day.
Oh, goodness, you're so wrong. You're not right.
It was epic. I went on for like three.
You're not right.
I went on for like 3 minutes. I just, every woe, I'm just done with life. And it was epic. It was one of my finer moments.
Let me tell one more story, and then I want to hear the rest of your answering machine story. I have a friend who pastors who, on April Fool's, called one of the young men in the church. He said, hey, man, We got a family in the hospital. Would you mind going to pray with them? And let's just say it's the Pomeroy family. So he says,
You know, you could have picked Smith or Jones, but you went with Pomeroy family.
I don't know why that came to my mind.
It's a dog. The Pomeroy dog, isn't it?
Pomeranian.
Oh, that's close enough.
Yeah. I think Pomeroy
runs in the same family.
Some kind of a.
Runs in the same family.
The Pomeroy, the Pomeranian. So he said, oh, yeah, absolutely, Pastor, I'll go. So he goes, and he's in the hospital. Like, he goes to the hospital room. He says something like, it's room 422.
Yeah.
So he goes and knocks on the door, 422. Or I'm sorry, maybe he doesn't tell him the name of the family. He just says, this family called and asked for you to go visit there. Okay, yeah, that's how it was. So he walks in, knocks on the door. He walks, hey, my name is, and I wanted to come in and pray with you. And they're like, no. But I thought you called to ask me to come pray with you. No. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So he walked out, calls Pastor. Hey, Pastor, they said they don't want me to pray with them. He said, no, they didn't call. Their family called, their aunt called, and wanted you to go and pray with them. Oh, so he goes back in the room.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, it was your Aunt Marcy. Aunt Marcy called and wanted me to come and pray with you. I don't have an Aunt Marcy. I don't want you to pray with me. Well, can I at least just pray with you? No, I don't want you to pray. Okay. So he goes out, he calls, he says, Pastor, this isn't working. I mean, they don't want me to pray. He said, they really need help right now. They're struggling and they're just
probably out of their mind.
They just need you to pray. Just go in there and say, you know what, I'm just going to pray and I'll leave. So he goes in there and
he tries. After we get off this phone, after we get off this recording, you got to tell me who this is.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to send him a thank you card.
Then he comes back out of the room card. And he calls him back. He says, Pastor, I'm telling you, it's just bad. He goes, April Fool's. And the guy said, I just hung up. It was the most kind response I could have given in that moment. The one I would regret the least. I just hung up.
It's a ministry training moment.
It was.
Training moments with Pastor whoever.
Okay, so answering machine story.
So I started this story in one of the past episodes. So we had this guy that he had a real bad problem with stealing. Mm-hmm. He was in the church. And he'd come to help me move when I graduated from Bible college, get all my stuff out of my room. He had a truck, put it in there, take it back.
Stolen truck, probably.
Probably. And I had my answer machine, which they were important back then.
They were indeed.
When you move someplace, you unpacked your answer machine first and your phone. You plugged that sucker up.
And you walked in, you saw the little red light beeping, like, I have a message.
Now you get messages on your phone. It's like,
Right. Voicemail. Who leaves voicemails nowadays? Exactly. What is this, 1994?
Just text me.
That's right.
And so I had it sitting there because I was going to grab it the next load because my hand was full. Not my hands. My hand was full. And I could only carry so much. When I come back in, the answer machine is gone. It was a real nice one. Said to the guy, I said, hey, where's my answer machine? He goes, I didn't see an answer machine. I'm like, yeah, it was right here. And I thought, well, maybe I put it in the box or something. I'll check when I get home. Maybe I'm losing it, you know? And about 2 weeks later, I run by his house, and he's got a coffee table filled with answer machines.
Okay, that's a weird fetish.
And there's mine.
That's a weird fetish.
He was selling them. He had stolen it, and he was selling it.
Oh, my goodness.
And there it was.
Those are hot.
It was a hot answer machine, exactly. All of them.
I bet, did he file off the VIN and the serial number?
Serial number. He filed it down.
Oh, Lieutenant, the serial number's been filed off. We'll never be able to trace it. I bet he's using a burner.
Well, yeah. So I finished my story, but anyways.
Did you ever get it back?
No, I didn't say anything. I just marked it up that he'll never help me again, and I'll never have.
Yeah,
he only has
one volunteer to help you move, and it's the guy who steals stuff.
Yeah, we gave him. I either gave him some money or I gave him an engine.
You gave him an answering machine,
an engine, and something happened and found out he'd stolen it or something. Oh, I know what it was. That's another story. I won't tell that one because I don't remember all the details. When I first met this guy,
make it up and call it a parable.
So when I first met this guy, I mean, I just new to this church, and all of a sudden he comes and he gives me this $500-$600 suit. He says, here, I've got this. They were giving it away at work. He worked at Macy's.
Oh, they're giving it away?
Yeah. He wasn't giving that one. He stole it. He put it in a trash can.
Right.
After work, he grabbed it and he gave it to me. It was a $500-$600 suit. I didn't know it. till later.
Right.
We worked together one summer at a fireworks warehouse. Mm-hmm. And he would take the fireworks with, he drove the forklift. He would put them on top of the warehouse outside. And after work, he would climb up there and get all the fireworks that he had stolen.
Has he ever read
the
Ten Commandments?
You know what? He got his life right. Good. He ended up passing away. But he got his life right and was a tremendous soul winner. It was unbelievable.
Isn't the grace of God amazing?
We went somewhere.
It took us 20 minutes and 27 seconds. We're a little long on this episode. We went into extra innings there.
All right.
Well,
you take it away, LJ.
All right. It's been a joy to have you on the Lloyd and Leroy Show. We invite you to listen the next time as Darren and LJ in the studio record more episodes of fun.